It is good to worship together, to celebrate the death and resurrection of Jesus together, and to be nourished by the word together. Our reading this morning is from Acts 5, 17 through 42, an account of bold faith in the face of persecution. Hear the word of the Lord. Then the high priest and all his associates, who were members of the party of the Sadducees, were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. "Go, stand in the temple courts," he said, "and tell the people the full message of this new life." At daybreak, they entered the temple courts, as they had been told, and began to teach the people. When the high priest and his associates arrived, they called together the Sanhedrin, the full assembly of the elders of Israel, and sent to the jail for the apostles. But on arriving at the jail, the officers did not find them there. So they went back and reported, "We found the jail securely locked with the guards standing at the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside." On hearing this report, the captain of the temple guard and the chief priests were puzzled, wondering what would come of this. Then someone came and said, "Look, the men you put in jail are standing in the temple courts, teaching the people." At that, the captain went with his officers and brought the apostles. They did not use force because they feared that the people would stone them. Having brought the apostles, they made them appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name," he said, "yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood." Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." When they heard this, they were furious and wanted to put them to death. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, who was honored by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered that the men be put outside for a little while. Then he addressed them, "Men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do to these men. Some time ago, Theudas appeared, claiming to be somebody, and about 400 men rallied to him. He was killed, all his followers were dispersed, and it all came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean appeared in the days of the census and led a band of people in revolt. He too was killed, and all his followers were scattered. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone, let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God." His speech persuaded them. They called the apostles in and had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. The apostles left the Sanhedrin, rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Day after day, in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. This is the word of the Lord. In preparation for today, I read through the whole book of Acts, and the whole book shows bold faith in the face of persecution and sustenance from God for his church. This point in Acts 5 is of great significance as the apostles continue sharing the word despite the persecution they're initially starting to face. Before this point, Peter and the other apostles were performing miracles and teaching in a side section of the temple called Solomon's Colonnade. Now, to imagine that, just imagine Lanesville Christian Church here, and around the property, imagine a set of walls surrounding the property. Now, Solomon's Colonnade had big columns, and it was covered. So the apostles would go there and preach, and the church would gather there. It said there were about 5,000 members of following the way at this time. Peter and John get arrested by the Sanhedrin and proclaim to them that salvation is found in no other name but Jesus. The Sanhedrin tells them not to preach in the name of Jesus any longer. After this, the believers pray that they may continue to speak with all boldness, speaking the full message of the gospel. So the Holy Spirit empowers them with boldness, and they continue to speak the word. They continue to perform miracles, and it's said that no one among them was in need as they sold land or other things they had and shared them with each other. Beginning in chapter 5 is the point where Ananias and Sapphira are introduced, and they had just sold a piece of land and brought the money from that to the apostles and said, this is the amount we got for that land. And Peter, in his insight, calls them out, and he sees that that's not the full price that they got for the land. And so judgment is given immediately upon that, and Ananias and Sapphira die. They had lied to the Holy Spirit. The church is highly regarded by many, and at the same time, it seems to be feared. It said many people dared not to join them. And at the same time, there were many people being baptized and being brought into the church and following the way. For the leaders of Israel, the church seems to be a threat to the point they want to kill the disciples. What made the church highly regarded and yet highly despised? The apostles had not stopped preaching and performing miracles in the name of Jesus after they were told to no longer in chapter 4. The high priest and Sadducees were jealous of the apostles due to the following they had gained and were continuing to gain. In chapter 4, it mentions that Annas was the high priest. And Annas did hold the position of high priest, but was stripped of that title by Roman authority around AD 15. This was after that time, and for some reason the Jews still considered him a high priest. It mentions Caiaphas as well in chapter 4, who was there by Roman authority at that time as the high priest. You may be familiar with him as he was the high priest serving during the trial and crucifixion of Jesus. Both of them are considered to be associated with the party of the Sadducees. So it mentions that these high priests were there, as well as other members of the Sadducees. And two important things to note about them is that they did not believe in a resurrection, nor did they believe in angels. We see in Acts 23:8, it says the Sadducees say there is no resurrection, and that there are neither angels nor spirits, but the Pharisees acknowledge them all. In the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Pharisees seem to be the main opposition toward Jesus and his ministry. And now here, in the book of Acts, it seems that the Sadducees seem to have a stronger opposition to the way. Despite having the apostles arrested, and despite the Sadducees' unbelief in angels, God delivers them by sending an angel to let them out of the jail. We continue to see God use angels to accomplish his purposes throughout the book of Acts. The angel commands them to go and tell the people the full message of this new life. The apostles follow this command and go back to where they were probably just arrested from, and they preach the gospel boldly. The guards are confused and seemingly stressed out in the morning when they don't find the apostles in the jail. And they wonder, you know, what's going to come of that, what the Sanhedrin's going to do to them. It looked like no one was ever even there in the jail. Someone quickly notices them, though, in the temple, preaching in the temple. And the apostles are brought back before the Sanhedrin again. When the Sanhedrin, in their authority, confront the apostles for continuing to teach in the name of Jesus, the apostles reframe the issue around divine authority. Peter and the apostles say we must obey God rather than men. I think, the scripture's up there. I want you to look at the scripture here. After they say this, they share the message of the gospel. The message they have is the most important message for every human. God raised Jesus from the dead. They had killed Jesus by hanging him on a tree. God exalted Jesus to his right hand as Prince and Savior. Jesus desires to give repentance and forgiveness of sins. The apostles had witnessed this with their eyes. They were present for the ministry of Jesus. They walked with him. They saw how he interacted with people, the love that he had for people. The Holy Spirit had been given to them. God gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey him and is witness to these things as well. Romans 11:25 says, "I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery, brothers, so that you may not be conceited. Israel has experienced a hardening in part until the full number of Gentiles has come in. The elders of Israel were jealous of the following and the power that the church had and felt a need to respond with more power." We clearly see the hardened hearts of the Israelites here. They had rejected that the blood of Jesus was on their hands. One who sees no wrong in himself cannot accept that there is something to be saved. Jesus' teaching is hard to deal with because it sheds light on the rebellion and disobedience that we have lived against the holy God. To accept him as your Savior is to acknowledge your part in hanging him on the cross. What areas of your heart are hardened to the light that exposes and heals? The church met people where they were at their point of need. They performed many miracles. In chapter 3, they had just healed a man who was crippled from birth. He was asking them for money, and Peter said they had no silver or gold to offer, but was going to offer what they did have, and he commanded him to walk in the name of Jesus, and the man does so. This is what caused the Sanhedrin to call the apostles before them the first time in chapter 4. Across every stage and path of life, people come with struggles, burdens, and needs that are unique to their circumstances. What can you offer to someone at their point of need? The church ministered in the power of the Spirit. After they are called before the Sanhedrin in chapter 4, and are released, they prayed that they could continue speaking the word boldly. And the Spirit moves among them and fills them with this boldness, and they continue to speak the full message of the gospel. The apostles and many disciples had witnessed the acts of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit was given to them at Pentecost and testifies about Jesus. John 15:26-27 says, "When the counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning." Leviticus 5:1 says, "If a person sins because he does not speak up when he hears a public charge to testify regarding something he has seen or learned about, he will be held responsible." The church didn't lower its standards to win the lost. They had seen the works of Jesus, the miracles he performed, and the deep love that he had for people. By command and conviction, the disciples could not help but share what they had seen and heard. The message of the gospel remained consistent and still remains consistent today. The call to leaving a life of sin and live in obedience to God and his commands was preached. Acts 4:20, where the apostles are before the Sanhedrin and speaking to them about the gospel, they say, "For we cannot help but speaking about what we have seen and heard." And then in chapter 5, when they're brought before the Sanhedrin a second time, they declare, "We must obey God rather than men." Deuteronomy 10:12-15 says, "And now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you? But to fear the Lord your God, and to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I am giving you today for your own good. To the Lord your God belong the heavens, even the highest heavens, the earth and everything in it, Yet the Lord set his affections on your forefathers and loved them, and he chose you, their descendants, above all the nations, as it is today. Matthew 28:18-20 says, Then Jesus came to them and said, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. The Father commands Israel to fear him, to walk in all his ways, to love him, and to serve him with all their hearts and all their souls, and to observe the commands and decrees he gave them. He acknowledges the authority of heaven and earth is his, yet he has set his affections toward his people. We see through the covenant that the Father made with Abraham that he desires to bless all nations through Abraham and his descendants. We know Israel did not hold up their end of the covenant. After the resurrection, Jesus now acknowledges all authority of heaven and earth has been given to him. He commissions the apostles to go and make disciples of all nations and to teach them to obey all he has commanded. 1 John 3:23-24 says, And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. Those who obey his commands live in him and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. John 14:23-24 says, Jesus replied, If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. Jesus calls us to leave our life of sin and to walk in obedience to him. He calls us to follow his teaching. He fulfilled the law that the Father had given that Israel was unable to fulfill. And he knows we're unable to fulfill it. Our acceptance of him as Savior brings us into covenant with him, where we are grafted in as part of the body of Christ, so that when the Father looks down upon us, he sees the perfection of Jesus, not our sin. Our sin was paid for on the cross, and Jesus desires to give repentance and forgiveness of sins. He desires that you would turn from your selfish ways of sin and turn to him, and he has so much forgiveness and grace to offer if you do so. The blood of Jesus doesn't give us freedom to sin, but freedom from sin. The church's identification with the people they encountered, reliance on the power of the Holy Spirit in ministry, and expression of God's hatred of sin are what made the church highly regarded and yet highly despised. We see throughout the rest of the book of Acts multiple points where the disciples face persecution. Very soon after this, Stephen is stoned. Because of a relationship with Jesus, opposition and persecution will happen. I want you to think of a time where you may have faced opposition or persecution for sharing the gospel. When I was a junior in high school, I went to this program called Prosser, which you may be familiar with as it's on Charlestown Road. It's a trade school. And for a year, I went to the diesel mechanics program there. And I had this project where I had to research some significant figure in diesel history and share about that. So I did that. And the night before and the morning of that presentation, I had a deep conviction that I had to share the gospel. And so I got in that morning to Prosser, and I shared about the guy in diesel history. And I connected the gospel to it by saying, you know, this guy was important for the progression of diesel mechanics, but we couldn't have had diesel mechanics without God, who created everything. And I shared how he has a deep love for all the people in those classes. in the classroom. While I was sharing that message, one of my classmates interrupted me and said, "Is this about Diesel or is this about God?" He said that that wasn't a church, you know, it was a diesel mechanics class to learn about Diesel. After that experience, I faced a lot of embarrassment and shame that came with that. And there's been other experiences where I've shared the gospel and I felt shame or worried that I've shared something wrong. We have to remember when sharing the gospel, it's not about the outcome. It's about obedience to the commission that Jesus has given us and to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. John 15, 18 through 19 says, "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it will love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you." Almost all the elders of Israel intend to kill the apostles after they shared the message and stated that they wouldn't follow the Sanhedrin's demands that they stop preaching in the name of Jesus. A well-known teacher of the law, Gamaliel, who was Paul's teacher whenever his name was Saul and whenever he was a Pharisee, he stands up and he had the elders reconsider their intentions. He shares wisdom and that if the movement of the apostles is of God and lasts, then the elders of Israel may find themselves fighting against God. Though it is a testimony to the truth that lies within Christianity, that Jesus is the Christ, he is the way, the truth, and the life, and salvation is found in no other name except through him, it cannot be completely relied upon that a movement that lasts is of God. And we know this because there's other movements, other religions that are around that have lasted for a long time. Gamaliel's position does not leave him in a spot of having chosen whether to submit his life to Christ or not, but rather to wait and see how things unfold. The apostles are flogged after Gamaliel sways the elders not to kill them. They walk out rejoicing. I'm sure they experienced some sort of negative human emotion with that. I mean, they experienced pain from the flogging. They may have experienced embarrassment and shame for being flogged or being told that they did something wrong. But despite that, though they face external persecution, they can rest in the internal peace that Christ offers. Their view of what they endured and of the opposition and persecution they continue to endure was that they were counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. They continued to preach the gospel, proclaiming that Jesus is the Christ. Matthew 11:30 says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." For those who have not accepted Christ as Lord, the gospel message shared is still available to you today. You have lived in rebellion and disobedience to the holy God. He desires to give you repentance, to turn from your selfish, sinful ways and to walk in obedience with him, to him. From your conception to your last breath, Jesus is walking beside you. He desires that you would turn from your sin and live. If you've never accepted him as Lord and Savior, he's inviting you to do so today. For those of us who have accepted him, are you creating opportunities for persecution? Jesus commissions you to make disciples and to teach them to obey all he has commanded. Speak his word boldly. He is with you to the very end of the age.